The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Aoife Barry from thejournal.ie and Maria Dickinson, Managing Director of Dubray Books, are here to do our our fiction picks of the year. We did the non-fiction last year. It's the last night. It's the fiction tonight we're doing. So, Maria, your first choice, please.
Well, without a doubt, my fiction book of the year is Shadow Play by Joseph O'Connor, which has received all sorts of plaudits, including an Irish Book Award a few weeks ago, and with very good reason. It tells the story of Bram Stoker when he was the manager of the Lyceum, and of Henry Irving and Ellen Terry, set against the backdrop of Jack the Ripper's London. It's incredibly rich, fun, gothic book. It feels like a book that Joseph O'Connor really enjoyed writing. And you get the kind of creative relationships between the three of them. Also something of a love triangle. And for anyone like me who read and loved Dracula, you can see just the pieces of the novel coming together in Stoker's head as the narrative comes together.
And is this a very different Joseph O'Connor book? Is this to his previous efforts?
It is. I mean, the thing I love about Joseph O'Connor is he writes on so many different subjects and so many different types of books and all absolutely marvellous. But this one, I just absolutely loved it, without a doubt.
Okay, that's Shadow Play by Joseph O'Connor. Your first choice, please, Aoife.
Yeah, it's one that both of us have picked. So it's Olive Again by Elizabeth Strout. So it's the second book about Olive Kitteridge. So if people are very familiar with Olive Kitteridge from the first book and from the series,
Frances McDormand,
who, of course, you can't help but picture entirely in this role through the whole thing. So what you're doing is you're basically visiting Olive Kitteridge in the second half of her life. So she's older, her husband has passed away. And like the previous book, and like, you know, a lot of Elizabeth Strout's work, you're looking at kind of the individual characters that are living in a town. So it's Crosby in Maine. And like, my heart was broken at parts of it. I was full of joy at other parts of it. I just think Elizabeth Strout captures, I think, the essence of being a person in the world, being human, all the many emotions people go through and the good and bad things people do. There's people in it who, in the book, who do really bad things, but she always humanizes everybody. And I just think it's a really beautiful read, particularly at Christmas time. And there's a lovely hardback edition of it as well that's on the shelves that I picked up myself in Dubray. So so I know you can definitely buy it for presents as well.
This was also on your list, Maria.
It was. I read Olive Kitteridge for the first time this year and followed on with Olive Again and just fell in love with her as a character. I mean, she's not immediately likable. She's quite cantankerous. She can be a little bit dour, but her heart is absolutely in the right place and the reader knows that. And through the story, you almost build up your impressions of her through the other people in the town. Some of the stories, she only appears for, you know, a fleeting moment. But you build up this impression of her as a woman that's really, really powerful, I think. And there's a lot
strong
in it about aging, both the wisdom of it and the indignities of it as well, which is rare enough, I think, in a novel these
completely
days.
Aoife, your next pick?
Sure. So The River Capture by the Irish writer Mary Costello. It's about a guy called Luke O'Brien. He's basically left Dublin to go live a quiet life with his family near the River Salan in this big house. And he's basically thinking about the family, about relationships. He meets a woman at a certain point in the book. He's obsessed with James Joyce. And I just thought it was such a gentle novel. There's no big, massive moments. There are kind of quiet revelations internally in him that he realizes about his life and about the world around him and about how he feels about himself, and he's kind of reflecting back on parts of his life. And it's just, you know, pays homage to Joyce, and that, I mean, if you're a massive Joyce fan, you'll probably pick out loads of stuff that I only picked, you know, small things out of or whatever. It's just beautiful, beautifully written. Her prose is gorgeous, and it's just very gentle, you know, unassuming novel by a fantastic writer.
Your next pick, please, Maria.
I'm going to take you slightly in a crime direction with Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. This has been a real word of mouth bestseller throughout the year. The sales have kind of quietly grown and grown, and now it's sitting pretty in our top 10 for the last few weeks. About a young girl named Kaya, who is known locally in her North Carolina town as the Marsh Girl. She's grown up in the marshes. Her parents and her siblings, one by one, have abandoned her to grow up there alone. So she's quite wild, quite an unusual individual, but she gradually starts to sort of build relationships with people locally, including two teenagers, one of whom she has a platonic romantic relationship with, and the other she has a sexual relationship with. They both, in their own ways, decide that they can't assimilate her wildness into their lives, and then one of them turns up dead.
Ooh.
You find out what happens after that. But it's an absolutely mesmerising book, quite a gentle crime book. You know, it's not your classic murder mystery. It's not your kind of hard bitten detective and so on and so forth. It's quite lyrical. And there's a lot in it about nature, about You know, sort of life in the swamp. It's very sort of dense, very atmospheric book.
Your next choice, Aoife Barry?
Yeah, my next choice would be The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. It's a translated version of a Japanese book that came out in 1994 and it was published in English this year. And I think what's really interesting about this book is that in the kind of Trump era where we're yet again concerned about surveillance and about being watched and about what governments do across the world and what citizens will put up with and what we will think is normal or abnormal, she's exploring all of these things. It's basically set in an island in Japan and the protagonist is a young woman who's a writer and she describes how different things start disappearing on this island. So literally you could come in one day to the studio, Matt, and microphones might have disappeared and the memory police these things that have disappeared. It can be smells, sounds, anything you think of. She finds out that her editor is in danger and then of course you go on and kind of find out what she does to try to protect her editor. It's such a beautifully written novel. It's just gorgeous and it's like the drama in it is kind of understated, yet it's really big when you think about it, that all these people are living under the surveillance of the memory police. And that's by Yoko Ogawa.
I know if you're not into crime fiction.
Well, it's not that I'm not into it. I suppose there's so many other books that I read that I like. I haven't read a lot of the latest crime stuff. So it's not that I'm this anti-crime novels or anything like that. But this year, I haven't really read enough of
it. I used to read lots of it. Don't read so much. And if I do, I might turn to the latest Michael Connelly, who tends to really get them out on a regular. But you've another couple of choices
Maria. Funnily enough, I'd be the reverse. I didn't used to read crime. And just in the last few years, I've read a lot more. And the author that I'm going to talk about next is actually the author that got me into reading crime. So that was a good intro. Tana French, I think, is an absolutely wonderful writer. Her latest one, The Witch Elm, came out this year and has done very well. But there are so many other great Irish crime writers at the moment. Jo Spain, Jane Casey, Alex Barclay, Catherine Ryan Howard. Fantastic list. Of writers. This one, Tana has a great sense of place in her novels. She's written kind of the Celtic Tiger Ghost Estates, of course, the Dublin murders that people have seen on the television recently, Stony Batter, Dublin 8.
Although, again, a lot of people would say stick to the books better than the TV adaptation.
I didn't watch it. You know, I love the book so much I couldn't bear to get a different version in my head.
The books apparently didn't work and took away from it a lot of people.
It's always tricky turning something from the page onto the screen. Things are always going to be, you know, lost or added to.
But what is it in the Tana French book that you like so much?
Well, this, The Witch Elm, is she's sort of taking... The setting is Dublin Southside, so it's almost sort of if Ross O'Carroll Kelly was starring in his own crime novel. This very kind of, you know, entitled Southside individual who really has it all, but at the beginning of it suffers a violent assault, and then subsequently there is a further crime in which a body is discovered in the hollow part of the Witch Elm in his family's garden. So almost three novels in one, because there's another crime at the end that I can't give you away.
Okay, you have one other crime book, Hunting Party by Lucy Foley.
I do. This is great fun and a good winter read. It's almost your kind of classic Cluedo crime novel. A bunch of university friends go off to a remote country house in Scotland for New Year. They get snowed in. A body is found and you get the narratives of all of the different individuals and trying to piece together who it is. So it's a really great romp of a read, you know, if you're looking for a good classic crime fiction to read over Christmas.
If Pascal Donoghue had stayed tonight to do the fiction as well, I suspect he would have had one of your choices, Aoife, on his list, The Wall by John Lanchester. Tell us about this.
Oh, I love this book so much. I was literally just staying up as late as I could to try and finish this book because it's a pure page turner. And John Lanchester is such an amazing writer. People might be familiar with his other books like Capital, which is another amazing book. Actually, Capital might, Pascal Donoghue might like the title of that as well. This is set in a dystopian near future and it feels very real. It basically is set in a time where a huge wall is surrounding Britain and young people are sent out to guard the National Coastal Defence Structure after they turn 18 for 2 years. And we follow the protagonist, who's a young man, and he's sent out to the wall. And we just get all the things that he's experiencing. But we understand now in 2019 why something like this could happen. It just feels very real. And what, you know, struck me was he manages to keep you turning the pages because the plot is so great. There's loads of moments where he's afraid to turn the page to see what was going to happen next. But then at the same time, you have these really human characters. And even though he could have slipped into cliche with a lot of it, I think he gets away with it completely because it just feels so real. One particular thing I really liked was the relationship between young people and their parents in the book is really bad because the parents knew that what they were doing was going to destroy the world and destroy the climate, but they didn't do anything about it. And that really struck me as something that could, you know, potentially happen in the next generation, that there would be that anger there. So that's The Wall by John Lanchester.
What's your first page turner, please, Maria?
Oh, I have a strange, not a strange, a varied selection of page turners here, all different sort of tones. The first one is When All Is Said by Anne Griffin, which won the Unpost Book Award for Best Irish Newcomer. I read this earlier in the year, but it has stayed with me absolutely throughout the year. It's a breathtaking book, and one that you really delve in to find the central character's life story. You find Morris Hannigan sitting at a bar, and he says quite early on in the novel that this is going to be the last night of his life. And during the course of the book, he makes five toasts to five people that have impacted on his life throughout his experiences. So it's a book that's full of history, full of regret. He's a very gruff character, but very engaging. I think everybody knows at least one old fella sitting up by a bar in different places throughout the country. It's really rich, really engaging. And I absolutely couldn't put it down. It's very rare that a book leaves me lost for words, but that one absolutely did.
Aoife, another winner at the Irish Book Awards was Once, Twice, Three Times, An Aisling by Emer McLeysa and Sarah Breen. What's the attraction of these books? This is the second book, isn't it?
It's the third book.
Yeah,
so I mean, there's a reason why these books, the Aisling books, as we like to call them, are consistently in the bestseller list, because they're really funny, they're really real, they're really well written. They just hit like the sweet spot with commercial fiction. And you feel like you're making friends with Aisling and all of her friends, you know, in their town of Ballygowarde. And you feel like you want to be sitting in her Ballygo brunch cafe with her, having something to eat. They really explore, like Emer and Sarah really explore themes that can be really tough, like death, you know, like abortion, you know, all these kind of tricky things that are going on in people's lives. Aisling's about to turn 30 in the book, and they really explore what it's like to be a person who's on the cusp of change and looking at their life and thinking what they want in their lives. And I think women are really hungry for those kind of books, where particularly young women, where they see their lives reflected in what's going on with these characters. And it's just gas as well. You'd literally be laughing out loud so many times, and you'd shed a tear or two. So what else could you want in a page turner?
What's your next one, please?
The next one is a very unusual book called My Sister the Serial Killer by Oyenka Braithwaite. Says it all in the title, really. There are two sisters growing up in Lagos. One is a nurse. She's very kind and dutiful. The other has killed three of her boyfriends, she says, in self-defence. And the younger sister has the joyous task of cleaning up the crime scenes, as a general rule. So biting, to say the least, but very, very funny in many ways, but it has quite a depth to it as well. It's a book that explores sibling bonds, and as the novel unravels, you find that they have both been subject to sort of various forms of abuse by their father and by the society that they live in. So it has a very powerful message as well, but it's a really, really vivid, really exciting read.
Now, Aoife, before I go and buy my physical copy of books these days, I often download an extract via Amazon, have a read of it, and see if I want to actually go and get the book. One that I've downloaded to read over Christmas is actually on your list, Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Tell us about this.
Sure. So this is a novel that's basically structured like an oral history, or like an interview where you've extracts of what the people were saying to the interviewer. So it's a really unusual format, but it also means that it's a really good page turner, because, you know, you've got lovely quotes from people and you're just seeing where they are bringing you. It's about a band called Daisy Jones and the Six. The lead singer is called Daisy Jones, and she joins this band. The band members might not necessarily all want her in the band. She's a really intriguing character. The band are kind of based on Fleetwood Mac. It's set in the 1970s. In America. So she's really capturing this particularly pivotal moment for music, and she's capturing all those, you know, niggly little, you know, relationships in a band, where some people like this person, they hate the other person. Do they like Daisy? Do they not? What's Daisy going to do with her life? There's drug use, there's, you know, drink, there's strange relationships, and she just captures a great spirit. She keeps you going with the plot.
This is Spinal Tap, or is this something?
No, it isn't. In fairness, it isn't a This is Spinal Tap kind of look at things. It's not very tongue-in-cheek. It's very real. Although there probably are a lot of in jokes, I would think, you know, about like, you know, album covers and about like that sort of behaviour that rock bands are supposed to have. It's not surprising that I think it's going to be turned into a TV show, I do believe, because it's just got that written all over it. It feels like a book that was really written with the visuals in mind as well too. And there are lyrics to the songs that are mentioned in the book at the end of the book, and I really liked that. Like, I want to hear the album after reading this book.
Okay, what have you got for us next, Maria Dickinson?
A slightly lighter one is The Flatshare by Beth O'Leary. This has been much talked about, uplit as a genre, since the publication of Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, and this would fit into that category. It's about Tiffy and Leon, who share a flat, but not in the most conventional sense of the word. Both cash-strapped millennials, one of them stays there at night and one of them stays there during the day. They've never actually met, but they communicate through notes and their relationship starts to build that way. As the novel goes on, you discover, you know, different depths to their lives that bring them together, and they sort their problems out and so on and so forth. It's heartwarming. It's kind. It's a light read, but it has a real, real heart to it.
Okay, I can have time for one more from each of you. What's your last choice, Aoife? It won't be all of your selections, but give us your last one, please.
No, I'm going to pick Follow Me to Ground by Sue Rainsford. She's an Irish writer. It's her debut novel, and it's really unique. Like, I'm still thinking about it because there's so many strange visuals in it. It's basically about a young woman who lives with her dad in a small house outside of a town, and they tend to the locals. So they call the locals cures. And what this young woman and her dad do is they basically treat the ailments that these people in the town have. So if they have some sort of illness, they go to this woman, and she literally puts her hands, kind of moves the skin and the bone and the muscle around, and like fixes these people in this really strange way. But then she embarks on a relationship with the cure, and things, as you can imagine, don't go very well. The prose is really interesting, the visuals are really interesting, the kind of imagery, and it's just a really like confident debut novel. I'm really interested to see where she goes to next. There's a lot about like the body and illness, and about being an other as well.
Now, just to finish, Maria Dickinson, I'm conscious of the fact you've only recommended two books by men in all of this list. That's very different from previous years. The John Lanchester book and the Joseph O'Connor book. I'm surprised you haven't Kevin Barry's brilliant
Well,
Night
that would
to
be a worthy inclusion
there.
As well.
Yeah, that would be my favourite novel that I've read this year. So finish with one other Irish man's novel.
I do have one very good novel by an Irish man. I'm finished. My book of the year was Joseph O'Connor. But This Is Happiness by Niall Williams is a wonderful, wonderful read. It's about the electrification of rural Ireland, not necessarily the most
pre-processing
concept as you start. Set in a small town named called Faha in Clare. And it's beautifully observed story about the relationships and the change that comes to this small town. The environment, there's a lot in it about rain and weather. Lovely, gentle humour. It's nostalgic without ever being cloying. And it would bring a tear to the eye, really would. Beautiful
50
book.
Years' time, somebody would be talking or writing about bringing broadband to rural Ireland in the
Don't
same
mention
way.
Mention the war about the National Broadband Plan, please.
Thank you very much. Aoife Barry, arts editor of the Journal.ie. Maria Dickinson, managing director of Dubrow.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.